I'd like to thank the Hershkovich family, being Parnas HaFardesh, the Ilui Nishmas, Moshe Ben Yehuda Lei, the Shomish of Eli, and the family of the Simcha, Nachas, and Brach.
Amen.
Also the Parnas HaShavua, this Shabsi and Rachel Lerner, for sponsoring this, the Ilui Nishmas, Rachel's father, Pardag Ben Avram, the Shomish of Eli, and the Simcha, Nachas, and Brach. Okay, let's learn. Ayam Dakecha, Achila, Page Lamedvav. After having learned the Avoda of Achila B'Kedusha, and how it's possible for us to transform the act of eating into an act of holiness. So this parak, parak gimel, is about the other aspect of kedusha, the one that we are more familiar with. Achayv lufreish b'mayis rites, the responsibility that we have to hold back and to refrain a little bit. It's not talking about fasting, anything extreme. But with all of the avodah that the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov taught us in terms of not being afraid to eat, and that eating can be something which is positive. It doesn't have to be something which makes us into people who are more magushamim, who are more magusham. It's able to lift us up and to make us into greater people, to greater Jews, and to bring us closer to Hashem Zibach. But that's only going to work if a person remains on the program of healthy Jewish eating, which means that everything has to be in measure. And there is always a certain degree of precious. Again, not fasting, not any asceticism, but a certain modesty when it comes to how a Jew eats, a certain humility and modesty the way that a Jew eats. Not to jump into the taivas of this world, even if it is with a cheshbon of kedusha. It has to be in a way that is modest. So on page Lamedvav, let's do the left column. Let's just review a second. That's what we're up to. Vadav is on page Lamedvav. Anyway, Nina Shach Rakhla Tzaddik. This isn't only something which is tzaddikim. It's the mitzvah from the Torah of Kedoshim to you. And everybody knows that Kedoshim to you, Rashi brings, Chazal tell us that it means, this mitzvah of Kedoshim to you means there are things that are permitted, things that are mutter, but that doesn't mean that just because it's permitted, that you should indulge in it. Lekadosh es atzmo kama sheherich Ramban b'malkam. L'kol echad tzarech la'asoyz la'atzmo gedorim v'loyloyma shahakol muta. Every person has to live with certain gedorim, with fences, with gedorim. Loyloyma shahakol muta. And not to say that everything is muta, even those things that are muta to eat. Elefim advigoso v'nyonet tzarech l'kabal atzmo kabolos b'li neder. Every person should have in his life, at every time in his life, some kabbalas bli neder, of how to conduct himself in a way of precious when eating. And kabbalas come together with penalties. Kabbalas are pretty worthless unless there's some sort of a penalty, a self-imposed penalty, that if you're in violation of that, let's say you, for argument's sake, that after you finish eating, you don't have to have a snack. You don't have to have a snack later, you know, at night before you go to bed. Let's say that you have an agah for the last 20 years, that you like to have a snack late at night or something, and you're mekabling yourself, at least to begin with, for a month, whatever it might be, you're covering yourself that, no, when you're done eating, you have your, you had your supper, no, must be enough. You don't have to have a snack. It's a certain habit, and it's, you're not hungry, and you don't have to have a snack. So you could be makabel upon yourself, li neder, to do such a thing, and that if you, and that let's say you violate that, you give in to that urge, to that habit, so then you have a knas. The knas could be that Shabbos, you're not going to have a dessert, whatever it might be. The person has to think of his own original or unoriginal kabbalas and knasos. Nothing crazy, you know, but something that you're conscious of what you eat and how much you eat. That's the ikur, is to have a consciousness, not hefkeris, not hefke. My father-in-law Shom told me that the biggest cheshbon that they had when they were in concentration camp is that when they gave you that, when the Germans, Yimach Shemam, when they gave out that miserable piece, once a day they gave out this disgusting piece of, he said it was nothing that any normal person would eat. This, it was bread, but it didn't look like bread. It was covered with mold. It was disgusting. But they gave them these, once a day you got this piece of bread. It wasn't even a whole piece, my father said. What you got once a day? So there was always a machlokes. They're always talking about this. Do you eat everything now, or do you save it? You know, you try to have a little bit until the next time. It was everybody that went into the camps. That was like the big, big hack. Not like our hacks. It was a big hack of like, what should you do? What should you do? So my father said that his mahalach was generally just, it's better to eat it because, first of all, you didn't know what's going to be tomorrow. And also, there was all kinds of things going on that if they knew that you were a person, that you were saving it, there were people that would go and steal it, or they would beat you up for it. So he thought the cheshbon was just, you know, get it over with and see, you know, what will be tomorrow. But we don't have, thank God, such things, crazy, such a thing to live such a life. But still, the Baruch Shalom wants us to have a certain cheshbon when we eat, to eat with a consciousness, not to eat some hefke, to eat with a cheshbon. The Torah lekabel atzmo knosa simyava kedei shlo yipal mikabloisa ki ha'odam tzarech lekadesh his gufo, because a person has to be mekadesh his guf. We were learning yesterday in the Hisbardus Chabura, how Chavis Lavavis says that if you think that you can be an Oyev Hashem, that you could be somebody who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're really somebody that's attached to Hashem while you're attached to your guf, and you can't hold yourself back when it comes to your guf, and you're just living a life of demyanis, you're just fooling yourself. You're just fooling yourself. The guf is a metzias that needs to be trained, that needs to be disciplined. There needs to be an avoid that we're going to be learning a lot about bittul. That's really the biggest part of the sefer, is the union of dveikus and bittul. What it means to be bottal to Hashem? What does it mean to be dovuk to Hashem? You can't be dovuk to Hashem in a real way. You can't be dovuk to Hashem if you're dovuk to your French fries. That doesn't mean you can't have some French fries. You can't be dovuk to the French fries. You can't. You're going to talk about Achilas Shabbos. Is there this avoid on Shabbos? Because Shabbos is an Indian to eat to your heart's content. But even then, we're going to see that that's not so pushy. Even on Shabbos and eating with your favorite foods and you enjoy, what if you had a Shabbos? What if you took off that Shabbos? Not from eating Chas V'Shalom. But you didn't have your favorite. It didn't have to be your favorite machal, that Shabbos. And you're conscious of that. Or if a person took off a meal during the week, or decided to take off this week, to take off two or three meals, and to say that on Monday and Thursday I'm not going to be eating anything during the day at all. Again, everybody has to design their own avod of Kedoshim to you, but everybody has to live with some cheshbon of Kedoshim to you all through life. There's no Indian, unless God forbid a person is sick. But otherwise, to live with the cheshbon of Kedoshim to you, and you're conscious of that, and you're aware of that, it makes you think before you eat, and it makes you into a person that's ruchni. That's ruchni. Because self, the only time that we really, aside of course davening and learning is something you feel ruchni is, but the Svama Kedoshim tell us that the most ruchniistic moment in a person's life is when his guf is screaming at him to do this, do this, do this, and he's conscious of the guf saying, you want this badly. And you say, lo. That's the most ruchniistic moment. Doesn't sound glamorous. You think of ruchni as lights out, guitar, kol olam kol geshet sar mahog. This doesn't sound like so much fun. But the Svarma says the deepest moment of ruchnius is when a person says no. Because your guf is saying yes, and the only thing that's saying no is your neshama. So when you listen to your neshama, that's ruchnius. That's all. That's what ruchnius is. It's not kumbaya, it's very, very nice. But ruchnius is when you say no because it's a bari arlam, and you say no to your guf, that means your neshama is the balabas of your guf. And when your neshama, when you strengthen your neshama to be mezgabra on your guf, so that's ruchnius. That's ruchnius. Let's say you have a habit, I'm not pointing any fingers now. Let's say you have the habit that every morning you have a hot cup of coffee. It doesn't have to be every morning. Don't feel bad, finish it, everybody, whoever you have. It's okay. It just reminded me, that's all. It doesn't mean that Shabbat is the only day of the week, is Arab Shabbos, that you have, not every day. But if you have this inyan that it's a certain type of coffee, and it's every morning, and that's how there are people that, come to shul, or they sit down to learn, the second they sit down to learn, they have to have that coffee. So take a morning of the week. Each week there should be a morning or two where you don't. Why do you have to have it? So all kinds of cheshbonos. What do you have to have it for? You have to have it because you enjoy it. No. And again, it's not, again, the way of the Baal Shem Tov is not to say you shouldn't enjoy it and all of the avoid of enjoying. But l'chol apochus, a person should be conscious of that, that it doesn't have to be such a thing. It doesn't have to be such a thing. A person could say no. And it's not at the moment. You plan out such a thing. That whatever it is, again, just Monday or Thursday, whatever you like, that on Monday and Thursday, I'm not going to have it. And when you do that, it seems like a very small thing. The truth is, it's not by the condition to you. It's a serious thing of condition to you. Every single person has to be in this avoda of precious, or else all of the fancy things and all of the chassidus and all of the hisayrus and all of the hergeshim, it's not entirely clear that they're real. That could also be a way to fresh for a Jew. We're not going into that right now. That's not davka ruchniistic thing. It is usually, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's also a way of enjoying oneself. It's also sometimes a way of enjoying. But when a person says, when a person has a physical taiva, and he says, lo, so that's ruchnius. That's very serious ruchnius. The obvious question is, since we're learning this whole mimer, we're learning about eating b'kedusha and how unbelievable it is, and that tannig is a tannig of elokus. That pleasure that you feel when you're eating is a pleasure. You could trace it back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's a merdeka thing, and it's a tikkun of shiras hakelim, and it's all this unbelievable stuff, and it's all true. K'mayshi es bayar. Im kein, madu yesh tzarach lefresh. So what's with the precious? I can do better than precious. That was until the Baal Shem Tov. Now we're Baruch Hashem post the Baal Shem Tov. So what do I have to stay away? If I could do something fantastic, and I could concentrate on the first two prakim and leave. Why do I have to have this third parak? Just concentrate on Achila B'Kedusha. Halo Lechayra, page Lamed Zayin. If you use the koch of machshava that we've been talking about, it's also a consciousness, an awareness. and you mekadish the achila, mekach machshavto, you chalacha b'chol ha'ila aruchah. Then you should be able to eat. You heard the stories about different tzaddikim that ate, and so you should also be able to eat k'chol ha'ila aruchah. You should be able to eat whatever you like. That's the question. And the answer to this question is as follows. It's really what I was just explaining. Look, every piece of food that we eat, we're not, thank God, we're not desperate to eat, we're not starving. We're eating in order to survive, and then there's the plus. So every piece of food comes with a wrapping. I'm not talking about the wrapping that the plastic wrapping. It comes with a box. It comes with a kisi of a klipa of this world. Every single piece of food comes wrapped in the klipa of the olam hagashmi, of the guf. And when people are walking up and down the aisles of the grocery store, they're looking for those things that are most appealing and most tasty. That's fine. And every single thing has a container. Everything is wrapped in this klipa of Olam Hazeh, of this world. And that's even after you take it out of the box, out of the plastic, and it still has a klipa of this world. And the klipa of this world is much harder to open, to peel off than the klipa that they put the package that the food is packaged in. Since there's a kisui, a covering, and a klipa, every single thing that we eat, there's a kisui, a covering, and a klipa. Sarach siyaita d'shmaya, kidei latzlich lezgaber ala kisui hagashmi. A person has to have siyaita d'shmaya, again, to think about what is my strategy right now. I'm about to eat this piece of food. This food comes with a kisui and a klipa. And what strategy am I now going to use in order to remove the klipa of this world, that this act of achila should be one of kedusha? What should I use? What strategy? The tachlis is to be mezgaber on the kisui and klipa. I want to be victorious. I want to be mezgaber. Remember, eating is a mohammed. So I want to be mezgaber on the kisui and the klipa. How am I going to do that? L'kadish is a machshava. V'klal hu. And the klal is shirak b'mesh ha'adam tzarech kol echad lefi inyano yesh siyua. Now, in order for us to win in this milchama, first you have to be in the milchama. If you don't enlist, you're not in the milchama. We're not forced to enlist. The Torah says kadosh to you. It's a choice. But if you choose to enlist, that means that you're in the milchama. So most people are not at all in this milchama. They just eat until they get sick or whatever. But if you sign up and you enlist and you're in the milchama, so every Jewish soldier knows that without siyata d'shmaya, without Hashem's help, you're going to get blown to pieces. You're going to get destroyed. You get killed. A soldier needs tremendous siyata d'shmaya. Tremendous siyata d'shmaya. So as part of this enlistment to the army of those who are fighting in the war of Kadeshim Tiyu, or in this Muhammad of Kadeshim Tiyu, so you have special benefit of Hashem's Siyata Shmaya, of the Baruch Shalom helping you. When a Jew who's a fighter, when a Jew who's a chayal, sits down to eat, and he's serious about this, this might sound to people who are not used to it as something which is extreme. We're not talking about fasting and anything extreme. But a person sits down as a chayal and he's serious about the achila as being something of kedusha and the mitzvah of kedushim tiyum, which really defines who a person is in terms of his dveikus b'Hashem and ahavas Hashem and yiras Hashem. So the person is serious. So then, Hashem is Baruch has a special feeling for such a Jew, and there's unusual siyata d'shmaya to help, to remove the kisur and the klipa, to help this be something which is good for the person, both in terms of his physical health, and certainly in terms of his ruchniyistic health. Like, for instance, there's a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim that the teufel once in a mikveh doesn't hurt you. What does that mean? It's put down August by some other tzaddikim that put things down. That means that your mother is crying that it's cold and whatever it is, and you shouldn't go to the mikveh today. You shouldn't go to the mikveh. And there's a Kabbalah that if you teufel, l'shem shemai, if you teufel a tefillah in the mikveh, it's some say one time. That means you don't. That means you get. There's a special siyata d'shmaya for one. If you're not feeling well, if chasam you're sick. Not talking about if you can infect somebody else. If you have a problem like that, you stay away from the mikveh. But if it's an Indian of your being sick, chas v'shalom, and you always go to the mikveh, you're in the habit of going to the mikveh. That's only when you're sick, right? You go to the mikveh. You like to go to the mikveh. So there's the tzaddikim say that one tefillah lamazik. So lamazik, one tefillah. But that's only you don't. That doesn't mean you go down 4 times or 10 times or the 26th time people or 52 whatever you know the or the flock the flippers you know you don't that's not the there's no kabbalah there's no special program. The program is you go down, you tefillah what's required, lo mazik, it's not going to hurt you. What about the doctor, and what about this one, the doctor says, you absolutely cannot go to the mikveh, you shouldn't go to the mikveh, and all this stuff. Tefillah has limited, it's not much. You go down, and you go off the mikveh quickly, finish. You don't hang out there, you don't travel a lot, you go for one time, you go down, come out, come on. It's a shmir, it's a siyata d'shmai for sure. When a person's eating, and he's in the milchama, and in the Muhammad there's special shmira that Hashem has for his chayalim, for his soldiers. In the Muhammad, there's a special shmira. But what is that shmira? How does that work? So he says, Haklal hu shirak b'mesha adam tzarech kol echad afi inyano yes siyua. The klal is, remember, the question was asked, why not just eat the kedusha all the time, just whatever you want, just have good machshavos. So the obvious answer is that it's not so easy to always have those machshavas. It's obvious. But besides that, he says, Rak b'mesha adam tzarech kol echad afi inyano. This really only works with what a person needs to eat. B'mesha adam tzarech kol echad afi inyano yesh siyua. Like the mikveh, there's for one tefillah when it comes to eating, for what you need. There's a special protection for the soldiers, for what they need to eat. The soldiers who are out on the battlefield, and they have a certain, they have to take their food with them, or they're given food to eat, they're not sitting down like they're in, bistro, there's a place, bistro, they're not sitting down like they're in some fancy restaurant. Guys, in the middle of a milchama, you have to eat, they need their strength. But when you're in the middle of a milchama, you're not sitting down and waiting for the waiter, and asking for them to bring first their appetizers. Can you imagine a guy sitting in the middle of the battlefield and they're giving him out something to eat in a little package, and he says, excuse me, I'm used to having a couple of egg rolls, you know, something. I don't just go right into the main. You don't have to wait then for the enemy to give you a bullet. The guy, your own commanding officer will give you a shot in the head. Get out of here. You a baby. This is war. You get what you need to eat, that's it. You get what you need in order to be able to be strong, that's all. So there's a special program for the chayalim, for the soldiers who are fighting this milchama of preshes, but we have to be honest with ourselves. It's each person according to the tzarech that he needs. Therefore, Mishle Parish Mehadvarim should tzarech lifreish. If you're not a person of precious, if you just think that you're playing this game, that you eat to your heart's content, whatever you like to eat, and you have this thing about machshavas and kedusha, you never got through the package. You didn't really get through the kisu and the kli, but you first have to open something up. You have to open up, you have to peel off the klipa. Peeling off the klipa is that you're in a cheshbon of what you eat. You have a cheshbon. And you eat what you need to eat. And the special siyata of the Shemaya, when you eat what you need to eat. We'll talk about Shabbos. But on Chol, you eat what you need to eat. But Mishloi Perish Mehadvar Mishutzarch Lifresh. But if you're a person that's overeating, there's no way, just like the, you just stomp, you eat. Even if you have the machshava, there's a tanaga eloki, which was a tanaga eloki, it's not a lakus. This is stam. You're not in the milchama. The madregas hagosha velakus. You're not going to lift this to this madrega of a feeling of elokus. Eating is going to still be something that brings you down, even though you have this machshava velakus. It doesn't work because you're swallowing the package. It's got the klipa on it. It's got the kisu and the klipa. You're swallowing it with the package. And el maram es atzma. You're just fooling yourself. The sofer sheyipa rachman l'son. In the end, you're just going to fall. It's not going to. It doesn't make you into a person that's more ruchni. You can't live without a cheshbon of precious. A Jew doesn't live without a simple, old-fashioned kedushin to you. You don't live without that. Let's look at footnote Nun Dalet. Now there's a famous Yerushalmi. This is one of the favorite. You know, you have there are certain gemaras and certain psukim that people know, right? So this is one of the favorite Yerushalmis of the kiddush goers and the restaurant people. This is the restaurant dwellers, kiddush goers. It's brought in Yerushalmi, Shaldim Yitava, I'll call my Shalayacha. You ask your friend, he's a big fresser, they say, aren't you nervous that you might collapse from all that you're eating or something? You might have a chas v'shalom heart attack from what's going on with your eating it. So he says, you don't know the Yerushalmi? He's upset with you that you're not Maris. And you say, I'm working on the Bavli. I really know I'm not proficient in the Yerushalmi. He says, the Yerushalmi says that when you're 120, there's going to be a taina if there was something that you didn't, there'll be a tefiah. How come you didn't eat? The Baruch Hashem is going to say, I created something that's so delicious you didn't eat it. It's a famous thing in the Bali Musa that they say from Rav Shams Val Hirsch, the tzaddikim, that you know, you didn't visit my Alps, right? The famous thing I think they say from Rav Shams Val Hirsch. You didn't. I created such a beautiful place, the Alps, and you didn't go visit the Alps. Okay, so he said, well, if you give me money from the money to go to the Alps, I go to the Alps. But when it comes to food, it's not so. You can get something, you could be a big chazer, Bishu Satara. You could eat and eat and eat. So there's the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi said, the Baruch Shalom wants me to enjoy. He wants me to have anything that's kosher that I should have. There'll be a tefiah. I made such a nice thing. How come you didn't eat it? L'chayra is a pela otzim. She chiv lechel madan? What are the Yerushalmi saying? There's a chiv to eat all kinds of delicacies, all kinds of things. There's a chiv to eat madan? It's one of the favorite names for, like, takeout places in Borough Park in Yerushalayim, right? The name of madanim. I saw a car service madan. I didn't understand that.
It's delivering food.
It's to deliver food, probably, yeah. Says a hepech divrei Chazal become a makaymis. So what does this mean? There'll be a tria at 120. That what? I gave the world such an inyan to think of making this food, and you didn't eat it. It's a tria. It's a taina. It goes against what Chazal tells us in so many places about not living like that. And one of the ways to acquire your Torah, the Chazal tell us, is by less eating, less gashmius, more ruchnius. You say no to gashmius, that means yes to ruchnius. So what's the Yushalmi saying? Is it tviya? Va'abirhu. She Yushalmi medaber al dover shayetzarech la'achol, l'fi inyano. The Yushalmi is speaking the language of Pnimius. And the language of Pnimius is that the Bnei Shalom is not asking a Jew to fast. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be strong. And he's saying that if you're supposed to eat and you have this inyan that you got into your head of starving yourself, of not eating when you're supposed to eat, that's what the Yushalmi is talking about. There'll be a tviya against you. The same way there's a tviya when it comes to isurim, things that are forbidden, so too, even something, when there's something that's permitted, and you said no, and the reason was that you had some sort of an extreme cheshbon, whatever that is, and you needed to take care of your health, and your mother said, I want you to eat this because you need to be healthy and strong. And then the doctor says, you need to eat because you have to be healthy and strong. And then the rav said, you have to eat this, Mr. So-and-so, even though it's Yom Kippur, you need to eat this because you're not well. And the halacha says that in this situation, you have to eat. And you say, no, I'm a gibor. I'm a soldier. That's it. For that, there's a tvir. You need to eat. A Jew's not supposed to starve himself. A Jew's supposed to be healthy and strong.
Just talking about where you halachically have to eat?
Mm-hmm. No.
Just talking about where you
halachically. No, I'm only using that as a very strong example of that, halachically. I'm saying with seichel, common sense. A person needs to eat. Not to be weak, and so on. There's a terrible story I once told you about a yid. I don't remember which tzaddik was that met this Jew, and he was crazy, heavy, very, very, very obese, and the way he ate was mishigah. And the tzaddik asked him, "What's in a nice way, I guess?" He asked him, "Maybe you need a little bit to cut back." So this yid said to him, "When the Cossacks came to take my father, they took my father away, and my mother, and they burnt them alive." And they burnt very quickly because they were very skinny. He says, by me, it's going to take a long time until I burn. That's what he said. They're not going to burn me up so fast. So the tzaddik, okay. You're all right. It's going to take a while for them to burn me. I'm not going quickly. So, Shabbat say, Yochel Le'ochel B'Kedusha. What you need to eat, you should eat the Kedusha. A person has to eat, and a person should be healthy. That's the Yerushalmi saying. There's a tviya. You're supposed to eat, and you're not eating. That's not good. The Bnei Shalom made the body, and he put the neshama in the guf, and he wants you to take care of the guf that he gave you. You should take care of it. Whatever needs to be taken care of is to eat what you need to eat. And if you're not careful of that, then there's a tviya. And certainly, when it comes to what you need to eat, you eat b'kedusha with the cheshbon that we're learning in the first prakim of eating b'kedusha with the cheshbon of elokus and avodas Hashem, what you need to eat. Ulevara as hanitzaitis, that the avodah birurim. V'chein im lo yachal elav parish lagamrei. Therefore, if you are not eating when you should be eating, halachically, health, whatever it is, to make sure that you're strong, if you should be able to work and to daven and to learn and to be a healthy person. Yitov alka, and after 120. There'll be a tvi. After 120, there's a tvi. Like, why didn't you eat? Shleitikim mashiyochel asak. How come you weren't misakim? You could have been misakim. You didn't have to fast. You didn't have to go in such a way that you were sick or you didn't take care of your health. You should have eaten kedusha. Avalechel dovish and etzorach also, but it's time to eat. To fast? No. That's not what the Yerushalmi is talking about. There's no tviya. V'ayim ha'katayin al-kashir parash l'gamrei hu shezeh simen shlehemen sheyesh kedusha b'chol davar. And if you're a person that you don't eat, you're fasting, that means that you don't believe that you could be mekadosh this food. You have to believe that you could eat in kedusha. I mean, again, we're not talking about how the kadmonim they did, the tzaddikim that they fasted a lot. We're talking about regular people. If you say, in other words, you're saying, I'm not going to enlist in the army. I'm not enlisting. In the army of what? Of eating for Kedusha. To eat for Kedusha. He says, no, what do you mean? You don't believe that you could eat for Kedusha? You can eat for Kedusha. And it's a huge Indian to eat for Kedusha. And it's the avodah of Dira B'tach Tavim. It's Mamish Dira B'tach Tavim. It's maybe Mamish. But Hashem is both once. Of Maloy Chalaritz Kavaida. Maloy Chalaritz Kavaida. To fill this world with the covet Hashem is about that even the act of eating is something which is B'kedusha. You have to believe that. So when it comes to eating what you're supposed to eat, you eat it in the right way, like a Jew. That's the milchama. To eat with machshavas of Kedusha. Not to fast. To eat with machshavas of Kedusha. That's what the Yusham is talking about. There's a tviya. What's the matter with you? You didn't eat? V'choshosh ha-gashmiz hidav shetzarach levatel l'gama. You think that you can't have gashmiz? What, you think you can't get married? You can't have children? You're supposed to be like a galach or a nun or something, that you go to a monastery or to a convent, you're not supposed to get married. The Baruch Hashem says, I want you to get married. And I want you to have children. I want you to do things in a way that's with Kedusha, with the cheshbon of Kedusha. The way that a Jew is supposed to live. I say you're not to get married. I'm not telling you not to eat. You're not supposed to remember vatal the gashmias and constant altogether. This is what's tricky. With everything in Avodas Hashem, you need to have those two pockets, like the tzaddikim, like the Rebbe Abuna Pshiska said, Bishvili Nivra Olam and Ofer Veifer. One pocket has in it a tzettel of paper that says that the world was created for me, and the other pocket has a piece of paper that says your Ofer Veifer. And you have to know when to take out from each pocket. You have to know when. You have to know, you have to be honest, and you have to have common sense. Mitzad Echad, what are the two tzadim? Mitzad Echad, levatel sagashmis. There are times that you have to take out from one pocket. You take out, it says, not to eat. Not to eat. Levatel sagashmis. Like we were talking about before. Levatel sagashmis. And to know when to be levatel it, and to stay away from it. And even to make fun of yourself for being so connected to Gashmis and all the avoida that we, of bittul Gashmis. There are times that we have to do that, bittul Gashmis. To live fresh mimena, to stay away. Mitzad sheini, the other packet. Akachas oisab dusha. When it's to eat, and you should eat b'kedusha. That the avoda now is not refraining. The avoda is eating, but eating like a yid, eating in a Jewish way. B'kedusha. Kibemis b'soyach kol dov yesh erloki. Because you have to believe that in every single thing, if you peel away the wrapping, if you take away the cover, there's elokus. Every single food is elokus. But you have to be an honest person. You have to. Be somebody that wants to be Mekayim this mitzvah, Kedoshim to you. Ki ein od mavado. Because everything is elokus. Of course, ein od mavado. Everything is elokus. Ein od mavado. Ein od mavado. There was, I showed me that something that I don't know, went around a lot, but usually these things are, she got from someone. There's a whole campaign against going on now. I didn't know about it. I don't even know what kind of shaitel this is. I don't know what it is. And the telling you, my wife is not 100% sure either. But there's some sort of a shekel now. They made a campaign, some rabbanim and Rosh Hashivas, they made a campaign against some type of a shekel that's called a lace top. I don't know what it is. But some kind of a, even my wife is saying, she thinks that they put some more material so it looks more like it's the scalp. It looks more like the scalp so that you should, that more like your own hair. So they have some new type of a shaitl, and there was a letter that's going around with signatures of some Hashiva people against this. You're not allowed to make it, you're not allowed to sell it, you're not allowed to wear it. So I don't know what that is, I'm not sure what the whole Indian is, but if you're wearing, I don't know what the Indian is. But some lady finally fought back. Too bad on her. I had it because my wife sent it to me, and I would read to you what this lady wrote. She wrote, "I only wear that," and then she went on like a list of seven or eight things that the men are doing. When my husband comes back from the Kiddush, where he spent, you know, an hour while we're all waiting at home for him, Shabbos, drinking with his friends, or when he went to the parlor meeting for some tzedakah, where he left some sort of a check, but he comes home also drunk and with 12 like rolled cigars for the people who gave money. And she has like a whole list of like what the guys have been doing lately. Or, this was a good one. I only wear my lace top shetel when the guys are sitting in the backyard in the hot tub smoking a hookah, smoking something. That's when I wear my lace top. That's the only time I wear it, which I'm not. And then she ends on this. She gives like another five of these like zingers, like mamish, like straight to the kishka. Of what's been going on. Guys, adult, I'm hearing men that are sitting around smoking joints and that's also something that's mutter. It's also now it's mutter to have a joint, to smoke. So, and at the end, she writes a few things. She writes, the truth is I'm just trying to do my best and I wear this because I'm trying to do my best just to be a good Jewish woman and do what's right and to raise Yiddish kinder, to raise Jewish children. That's what she writes. And she says, like, when are you going to, like, she was writing it to the rabbis, like, when are you going to start talking about the men's sneers? Oh, she had another thing. The first item was that I wear my lace top, whatever that thing is, I wear my lace top shetel when my husband is out riding with his, I know they wear special gotchkas when they go bicycle riding? Something. I don't know if she had a word that they call it. I don't know what it's called.
Bicycle pants.
Something. But when he comes back with his whole outfit, you know, so that's when I wear my lace top shake. When he's out wearing his outfit, he comes back, you know. So she says, like, when are you going to... Like the women are killing themselves to try to raise Jewish families and doing their best, and it's hard for them to have this mitzvah of covering the hair and being tznuas and so on. Like, when are you going to start blaming the men for what they're doing? I felt that she has a legitimate taina. Again, I'm not talking about whether that shekel is good or not. I don't know what it is. But I'm talking about, when are you going to start talking to the men? Anytime something goes wrong, right after Meron, there were things going out. Kol Kari is about the women's sheitlach, the long sheitels. From what I remember, there wasn't one woman who died in Meiron. Uh-huh. It's a men's event. There were women there. There are women now that come, like by me, but thank God no women got killed. The only men that died. But Kol Kari, ladies, attention all ladies. Once again, you have caused these wonderful Jews to die. Every time. You are responsible for the death of these men. That's what it means. Every time. And then they'll put in something like, you know, be careful, Lashon Hara. That's like the go-to. But mostly it's the women. It's an interesting thing. By the Chet HaEgel, women didn't sin. By the Chet of the Meraglim, women didn't sin. Huh? You could be sure by the Chet of the Meraglim the next day. Attention all ladies. Those shekels are killing us. Your shekels are killing us. Your elbows, your knees are killing us. It's just such a typical thing of... Since other Marishan, Ha'ishish and Asati, Nostalm Yaha'eitz Baruch, it's such a typical thing. It's her fault. The guys are running around, fressing from people, not Michal Shabbos, eating and carrying on, and smoking and drinking with the drinking that goes on by so many places on Shabbos. There used to be a place in the summer, I remember the guys, the women were crying to me that the husbands are drunk. They can't sit by the table. They come back from Kiddush stoned. They can't sit by the Shabbos table. And there's not one or two people. That's going on in a lot of places. Drinking and dressing and crazy. But the women have a problem with that. It's the women's fault that people are dying. And this lady fought back. She's right. Again, I'm not talking about the Sheitlet. I'm not weighing in on that at all. I don't know anything about it. But she's right about that whole Indian. About how they, and again, I'm not saying that everybody has to do their best when it comes to tznius and all good things. We have to try our hardest. The women have to try hard. But like, where's the union of the men's tznius? Because men think there's no avodah when it comes to tznius. By men, the avodah tznius is something different. It's not about your elbow. It's not about your knee. It's something different. It's being an ish tzanua with how you eat. And how you conduct yourself, and how you talk, and how you are with the chevra, and how you act, and every single thing, every single moment of life, there's an idea of being an ish tzanua, being a person who's tzanua. The guys would like to think that tznius is just about what shaitl you wear. It's a shtiyot. That's the whole union of tznius. The women with their clothing, and then not only that, but. What are the things that you, what do you think the girls are learning in school? What do they tell them why they have to be tznius, Dick? Because of the guys. Not that there's an inyan of you, your own self-respect and who you are as a bas yisrael. The reason that you have to is because, you know, you can't do that to the guys. You can't do that to the guys. My wife tells me that every single girl she ever speaks, whatever, that's what they heard. That the inyan of tznius is that you're messing up the guys. You're messing up the guys. And all the girls are walking around feeling like, why are the guys such pigs? That doesn't mean that you could dress, that she should dress not in a way that's not, again, I'm not saying that she should dress in a way that's not nice. But talk and say the truth. Put up cold curries about how the men are carrying on, about how the men don't know how to control themselves, about where their eyes are day and night. Don't say that that's what you teach the girls. Tznius is a very big thing by the girls, but it has to do with Kedusha and who they are as people. And that's the avoda. And really, the ikur inyan of tznius by a woman is also klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when she feels that sensitivity, she'll dress the right way and act the right way, and so on. It's not because she's messing up the guys. And now we're going to have people dying in Meiron, God forbid, because if she didn't wear the right clothing. That's why the men are dying in Meiron. The men themselves are guilty of plenty of things. But they always have a way of turning it around to the women. And you all know I'm not a feminist. I think that's clear. But it's something which is already such a phoniness. Such a phoniness. And just the way that it looked from this, you know, she did. And they sent this thing out right underneath the Kolkari. This thing that she wrote. Right underneath the Kolkari. I'm not saying, again, those Rabbanim, they have whatever the Cheshmas, I respect them. They're all great people and so on. That's not the point they're making. But what she wanted, the point that she wanted to make was, okay, rabbis, whatever, you have, maybe you're right, and we need to work on our sheitlach. It's not, something's wrong with the sheitlach. Same. Okay. But, like, what's going on? How come there's nothing to the guys about the usual, not usual, but the casual way that men are going about their lives, from men, with their eating, with the way they dress, with the way they carry on, with their partying, with their talking? What about acting, how they act in shul? What about, like, zeroing in on the guys? What's wrong with the guys? What's missing in tznius when it comes to the guys? Precious, we're talking about to live a life of kedusha. Say the truth, that kedushim tiyu is not a popular mitzvah by the guys. Don't just make it like it's a girl's problem. Kedushim tiyu, it says in the pasuk, kol adas dabrel, kol adas bnei Yisrael. Kedoshim Tiyu. From Adam, Kedoshim Tiyu is for all Jews, not just women. Kedoshim Tiyu. And that's not the main reason why she has to dress a certain way. It's because you can't control yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Take control of your life. What's the matter with you? You have to go to the street. You have to go on the street. You have to go to work. You have to be in the world. So you're not in control of yourself. And then the reason that all the calamities are falling upon Klal Yisrael is because they're making you sin. What are you, an animal? They're making you look. They're making you sin. You're in control of yourself. You're not a giver. You're not a giver. You're not in control of your life. So then the women have to blame for everything that's going wrong in your life. It was like that with their mothers. They're like that with their wives. It's the same business. From Adam and Chava. It's always the wife. It's always my mother. It's the same passion. The whole time. It's her fault. It's not my avodah. It's her fault. This avodah of Kedusha and priestess is for the men also, not just for the women. Okay, so without